Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our study of the Gospel of John. The disciples asked Jesus about a blind man. They said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest." And then he said more about the works of God in verse 4. This is chapter 9, verse 4. "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night comes when no one can work." I notice here that Jesus says, "We must work the works of him who sent me." These were the Father's works, of course, not his. And that tells me that I should not be involved in trying to decide what to do for God. Many people do. If I want to serve God and do his works, then it makes sense that I should try to discover what works God wants done, what he is doing, and what he has revealed about his work in this world. Then I should try to discover from his revelation how I can do the works of God. I'm afraid many people start out wanting to do something for the Lord, so they get busy with what they think ought to be done. Jesus, however, did not do that. We instead should be asking, what are God's works? And we ought to find out from the Scriptures what he is doing in this world. I suggest we look at the book of Acts and discover how God worked among early believers. Try then to make a direct connection between your activity and what we know he wants done. Oh, there are many, many good things that we can do. But don't assume that all of these are God's works. There is a difference between church work, religious work, and God's work. You can easily get involved in church work, for there's much to be done. But I'm not sure that God is interested in all of those things. He is, however, interested in specific things which he wants us involved in also. Now, isn't this what Jesus did? Didn't he come to get involved in what God was doing? You may have missed it when we studied John chapter 5, verse 19 tells of it. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise." He was the Son who knew the Father's will, and he went about doing it at the right time, at the right place, and in the proper manner. He just didn't go out and say or awaken some morning and ask, "What shall I do for God today?" Now, how do we know what to do? We need to go back to the revelation of God. God has spoken. Think of it, there's no book in the Bible that tells us what God wants us to do other than the Bible. Is there any book in the world that tells us about Jesus or about God that's authoritative other than the Bible? There isn't. It's the only authoritative source about the Creator. So we have to go back to it and say, what is God doing? And that involves the Old Testament as well as the New, because we see the plan of God he has unfolded. God has plans and purposes. He gave the law for a limited time, for 1400 years. And he ended that administration of law when Christ died on the cross. Then he introduced a new program and a new plan and a new creation. It's called the church. And this church age, or church administration, is also going to end. And then God has another plan. He has revealed those things. But we are living in this church age. What does that tell us about what he wants us to do? We don't have to know about the coming tribulation and the beast and the book of Revelation and the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's good to know these things. If for no other reason than to understand them will keep us from misusing them and misinterpreting Scripture. So it's good to study all of those things, but you don't need to be concerned about bringing it about because God is going to fulfill those things. There are, however, some things He wants us to do in this life. Now, who am I to decide how I can serve my Creator? Should I go out and build a museum, an art gallery, create a park, clean up the streams? Oh, all those are good things. People benefit from them. But Jesus wasn't concerned about such things. I already know from the revelation of God what His priorities were. And I want to call to your attention just some of the things that interested Jesus. And of course, the list I give is not exhaustive. But perhaps it will get the works of God in focus based on the kind of a life that Jesus Himself lived. What is the work of God? First, Jesus spoke to this very subject in John chapter 6, when the Jews asked Him, "What shall we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Now, no matter how many hospitals you may build, or how many orphans you may feed, if you miss this, you have missed it all. Jesus said this is the work of God. So He wants everyone, first of all, to believe in the one He has sent. God sent His wonderful Son, born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem, the one who proved He was the Creator God, the one who was from the beginning, who called Himself the I Am. He's the most wonderful person in the world. The Son of God, the bread from heaven, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life. Well, we know more about God's priorities because Jesus talked about them. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after the resurrection of Jesus, the last thing He said there to His disciples was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Now, that involves preaching the gospel of grace, telling people who Jesus is and what He did and what He has already done so they would believe in Him and become His followers. And then He said, "Baptize them and teach them everything that I have told you." Last words, whether they come from man or from God, are especially significant. And in this case, the last words of Jesus to His disciples was, "Go with the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them." Everything here focused around the Word of God. That's a priority of God. If you are not involved in the Word of God and reaching out to other people, then you may have missed one of the major priorities of the New Testament. God sent His Son into the world, and He wants the world to know about Him and to be saved by Him. Now then, what are His commandments? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, John wrote, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." And now listen to the focus He gives it. "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us." Here are two priorities: to believe in Him, and second, to love one another. One need not search very far in the Bible to discover that God wants people to believe in Christ and to love one another. Oh, you should do good to all men, but the priority goes to those who believe in Him. What are His commandments? There they are. It's a twofold commandment. John has made it simple for us. People will tell you that we ought to do the commandments of Jesus. But when we hear that, we ought to ask, what are the commandments of Jesus? Well, people will say, well, there are lots of them, too many to recite. Well, the Apostle John didn't think there were too many to recite. He boiled it all down to one twofold commandment: to believe and to love one another. In your New Testament, you have the Epistle of Jude. Jude was very concerned for God's priorities, and he wrote, "I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." He was concerned about the faith. What is the faith? It's that body of truth given from heaven through revelation to the early church believers. We still have it. It's your New Testament. And Jude was urging those early Christians to contend for it, because it's our message. If we get away from that, we have missed it. We must contend for the truth of the Word of God. We must understand that this infallible Word of God cannot fail, that it endures forever, and we need to preach it. That's Christianity. I think you will agree that you can find churches that do not contend for the faith, and we also know that there are some churches which have departed from the faith. You can also visit churches today and not even hear a discussion of the faith. So no wonder Jude was concerned about this 1900 years ago. Well, there are some other priorities of God, and Jesus was concerned with them. One of them is do good works. We are saved to do good works. Well, Jesus was concerned about doing the works of Him who sent Him. One of my dear friends last week told me that his pastor said, "Our church is not growing and I'm concerned about it." He said all the programs that they have tried don't seem to bring the people in. And then he reluctantly admitted that they were going to have to practice evangelism if they are ever going to grow. Now, what does that tell you? It tells me that people aren't doing God's works. Evangelism is the work that God wants us to do, and it also tells me that people will do what God wants done only if nothing else works. God sent His Son so that we would evangelize. And evangelism means talking about what God has already done through Jesus Christ. And most evangelism, effective evangelism, is done by people talking to people, not evangelistic services or revival services. I don't think they do as much good as we think they do, but people talking to people accomplishes something. And many of you listening to this broadcast today are doing it because somebody talked to you personally, or invited you to a Bible class. Some of you are Christians because you might have read something that someone wrote about salvation. That too is a work of God. Whatever we do, whether we write something or speak something that glorifies the grace of God through Jesus Christ, is the work of God. As an independent Bible teaching ministry, the Radio Bible Course depends upon gifts from its listeners to continue these faith-building broadcasts. We welcome your partnership in this scripture-focused ministry. Gifts are tax-deductible. If you desire to be a helper with even a small gift, mail it to the Radio Bible Course. All gifts are used to pay for these broadcasts. None is used for salaries or benefits to anyone. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.